Well, good morning, everyone. I greet you all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And what a blessing it is to be in a house of the Lord. Sunday is my favorite day of the week. It used to not be. In my earlier years, for some reason, Sundays just weren't inspiring to me. But today, they are very inspiring. And it really is the favorite day of the week. I love every day serving the Lord, but Sundays are special. And being with all the brothers and sisters and meeting visitors, and I really enjoy it. God led in my heart to share on a subject here today. This is something that can happen in the workplace, it can happen in the church, it can happen in your family, and it's things that it can happen in many places. But it is, the subject would be, when somebody says something, does something to us, the subject is forgiveness. Forgiveness is truly the heart of the gospel. When somebody does something to us, so I just want to share a few thoughts that I have in my heart about forgiveness. I know we've heard many topics about this, but I just felt like I felt the need to share on it once more. Ephesians 4:32. The verses, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Have you ever struggled to forgive someone who you feel like has hurt you really deeply? Have you ever needed forgiveness that you feel that you didn't deserve? Have you ever needed forgiveness that you did not deserve? And forgiveness is not optional. It is essential to the Christian way of life. Forgiveness is not an option. We must practice it. The cross of Christ is not only where we receive forgiveness, it is where we learn how to give it. Forgiveness is a choice, not a feeling. Colossians 3:13. A release, not excusing the sin, but releasing the person from judgment. And forgiveness is not denying the pain or pretending that it didn't happen or waiting until you feel ready. And forgiveness does not automatically restore trust, but trust is rebuilt. But forgiveness is instant. Okay, so God forgave us fully, freely, and forever. Psalms 103, we touched on this last night. God forgave us as far as the east is from the west. We talked about that. And as Isaiah 118, though your sins be as scarlet, they will be washed white as snow. And God forgave us, but it cost him. It cost him the life of his son. His son gave his blood and died on the cross for us to have forgiveness. The nature of God's forgiveness is merciful, Titus 3:5, and unmerited, Romans 5:8. God's forgiveness is total and irreversible, Micah 7:19. Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. We might think sometimes we are facing a situation, like I said, it could be wherever it is in our life. Somebody does something to us, and we forgive this person. Then something happens again. The same person, and he did it again. And we say, we forgive him person once more. But after the third or fourth time, then we come to the point where that's enough. We can take the wrong road with our thought train. That is not going to happen again. But that's not how God wants us to be. That is wrong. If you ever get to that point, that you start thinking that way, you're upset at a situation that happened maybe the third or fourth time. The Bible says forgive 7 times 77. Just continue to forgive. It may get pretty hard. But when you get to the point where you feel like you're gonna put an end to this, go to Romans 12:19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And I can testify, if you practice that, it works. It works beautifully. It works beautifully. I don't understand it. He's getting away with it, what he did to me. But if you forgive whoever, whatever the situation, you have peace. You have true peace. I assure you, you will have true peace. It works. If you forgive not men the trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We talked about that last night. And if we can practice forgiveness, it is the evidence that we truly understand the gospel. And then Matthew 18:21-22. Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? Jesus said, 70 times 7. 70 times 7. You know that verse I'm talking about here. But no matter how many times, that's the road we have to take. If we don't forgive, and so that would mean, if we don't forgive this person, whatever took place, if we don't forgive, that means we are harboring unforgiveness in our heart. If we have unforgiveness in our heart, that puts us in bondage, not the person that did it to you, or you feel like that. If you choose to be unforgiving, then you will put yourself in a bondage that will restrict you from walking freely with the Lord and being a joyful Christian, spreading joy and planting seeds all everywhere you go. If you harbor unforgiveness in your heart, you're just a crippled Christian. I just came up with that. You're a Christian, a handicapped Christian. You're not very good. Not going to be very effective like God wants you to be. And you might say, well, they don't deserve it to be forgiven. Well, neither did we. We did not deserve forgiveness either for all the wicked things we did. If we're not careful, Proverbs 16:18 says, pride destroys relationships. You may have a beautiful friendship for many, many, many years, something will come up. If you allow it to, it will destroy a beautiful relationship. And then if pride is in your life, you'll regret it later. And every time you see this person, in the workplace, wherever this person is, I just really enjoy talking to that person. We had a lot of good times together, but he was the one that messed it up. He did it, not me. Wrong. Don't go there. Take the low road and do what as God wants us to. And that little thought of unforgiveness it can be just ever so small. One little incident, whatever it may be, that you choose to take as an offense and let it enter into your heart as such, as an offense. It turns in, it'll be simply unforgiveness. Hebrews 12:15 says, lest any root of bitterness trouble you, it will turn into bitterness. And bitterness poisons your soul and defiles others. And I can testify that it will grow. If something happens as such, it will. You start as you let it go in as an offense, and then it starts growing, and pretty soon it turns into bitterness. And if you don't do something, if you don't address this thing, it will turn into pure venom and hatred. It will turn into pure venom. But when you find yourself at that point, if you get down on your knees and tell God you're sorry and repent and confess that you were wrong, and can forgive the other person and please forgive me, Lord, I want to start over, he will do it once. He will forgive us again, even though we don't deserve it. And he will remember him no more as far as the east is from the west. So if you should find yourself in that place, I'm suggesting that we don't go there. But if you find yourself there, That's the way out. Get down on your knees. Bless them, Luke 6:27. Bless them that curse you and pray for them. Forgiveness is proven by your words and prayers. And something I ran across here, something that you have a ought against, there'll be such something that happens and you are not happy with this person. The suggestion would be to write that person's name down, pray for them daily, speak no evil of them, and let God change your heart. Many emotional, mental, and even physical burdens will develop from the unforgiveness in your heart. It will mentally and physically and emotionally put you off balance. It would emotionally, physically, mentally, just that little thought down there would do that to you. It'll take you out. As a Christian, it would destroy you. In Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So we know life is real. Things happen, and we have challenges every day. But let's try to keep that in mind. When something happens that's it's just sort of not very kind or nice or whatever, something that happens like that, the sooner you deal with it, the best thing to do is just let it go right on by. Don't even let it come in. If you take that thought, taking it captive, it means you let it enter and you're catching it. But I'm suggesting let's take it to the next level. That's just when you see it, you know it's coming, right? You know the situation is gonna, something's probably gonna come. Just let it go right on by. It's amazing how soon you forget about it. You just forget all about it. And I don't have a whole lot more on that there. I'd like to share just a little story about that I ran across here about unforgiveness. Forgiveness. It's about a drunk driving incident. The school gym was packed. Families filled the folding chairs, balloons popped, phones lit up, and they was ready to have a beautiful evening. But one seat in the front row remained empty. It had a rose on it and a photo of a smiling young man with a cap and gown. His name was Matthew James Carter. He never made it to graduation. Matthew was 17, class president, star athlete, Sunday school volunteer. He had already been accepted into a Christian college, planning to study youth ministry. But on the last Friday in April, everything changed. He was riding home with a youth group with his friend Jason when a car came flying through the intersection. The driver, 25-year-old Dylan Marks, had just left the bar. He was three times over the legal limit. The crash spun Matthew's car into a telephone pole. Jason survived and Matthew died on the impact. The Carter family was shattered. His mom, Teresa, stopped cooking. She stopped going to church. She couldn't sing hymns anymore. His dad, Tom, spent hours in the garage just staring at his son's fishing poles untouched on the wall. People brought meals, cards, Bible verses, but nothing filled the silence in that house. Nothing made the empty chair at the dinner table feel any less cruel. Dylan had been arrested. He admitted everything. He didn't ask for any plea bargain. I took a future that wasn't mine to take. I would understand if you hated me for the rest of my life. The judge gave him the maximum sentence allowed. But for the mother, Teresa, it wasn't enough. She was mad. She wanted to scream. She wanted justice to make the pain stop. But it didn't. He went to prison. Time went on. A couple months later, Teresa was dusting her son Matthew's room. And she ran across his Bible. She opened it up. Inside the front cover, has a handwritten note. If anything ever happens to me, tell people about Jesus. Don't waste pain. Turn it into something eternal. She fell down on the floor crying, and something in her heart broke open. 2 weeks later, she wrote Dylan a letter in prison. You stole my son. You broke my world. But I won't live the rest of my life dragging the weight of hate. I choose to forgive you, not because I'm strong, but because my Jesus is, and my son wants me to. Years passed. At a community event on the dangers of drunk driving, a young man stood to speak. It was Dylan. He shared the story, how he ruined everything of a young man's life and the family he destroyed. And then he said, he was having a topic, just talking to young people, and then he said, somehow that boy's mother forgave me, and I carry that grace every day. I should have been the one in the casket, but because of Jesus and because of her, I'm alive for a reason. In a crowd, Matthew's mother sat silent. She had her son's Bible in her lap, and she had peace. That would be tough, but even then, no matter what happens, we must forgive. It's God's commandment. Forgiveness is a command from God, not a suggestion. Luke 17:3-4. So it's something we need to. It's not easy, but we need to work on it, and that's something we must do. If we can do this, that's one area of our life that we can have peace in. Well, God bless you. That's all I have. You all.